Good morning. It's always a privilege to be able to come here and speak to you all. I count it an honor that Pastor Steve continues to invite me to come and share with you from the Word when he is out. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that's why we spend time each week, corporately and daily, individually, spending time in the Word. So as we open up this morning, I'd like to pray for this time in the Word. Lord, we just want to thank you that you have given us your Word, and that you have given us a way that we can be touched by you, and Lord, that we can be encouraged by you, and Lord, that we can learn to draw near to you. And Lord, we just ask this in your name. As you know, for the last couple years, every time I've come here, I've told you that I like to call these sermons that I need to hear. And the reason I call them that is because, unlike Pastor Steve, who has to come up here week after week and share with you, I have a period of time where God has a chance to deal with me in certain areas. And so it's out of that that I get to share. And as I'm going through, you know, there comes a point sometimes where you say, you know, I wish somebody would have told me this or reminded me of this, some time ago. And 1 Corinthians reminds us, 10:13, where there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Well, I figure that maybe if I'm having issues in a particular area, that maybe some of you also are having somewhat the same issues. Before we go, I want to say two things as a warning. These are new glasses, so if I'm going like this trying to read, that's why. And I had an implant put in one of my teeth, so I have a mouthpiece. And so if I start slurring, it's not because the Holy Spirit just filled me like on the day of Pentecost and they thought they were drunk. So it's just the mouthpiece. Okay. There came a point. I'm going to get emotional this morning, so I might as well warn you, because this is really an area that God has had to really direct me. And April kind of vouched for this, that about 5 years ago, when we were in Virginia, there came a point in my life that I wanted to take this book and put it on the shelf and never read it again. God's brought me a long way. Actually, if it hadn't have been for my Greek New Testament, I may have, but I like Greek so much, I couldn't quit reading it because that's the only Greek text I have. And so we had made a declaration in our church in Denver that we wanted to go to the mission field. And it seemed like from that day until that day about 5 years ago, that absolutely everything went wrong in my life. And I determined I wasn't going to do this. and so we went to Haiti. That fell through. And we, under new missions, and we went to UFM, Unevangelized Fields Missions, to try to get an appointment there. That fell through, and in my opinion at the time, I would have said it fell through in a really ugly way. Not only was I very upset when we broke our relationship with UFM. But I felt that because of some of their rules and they wouldn't reimburse some of our expenses, we ended up with quite a bit of debt. And then I ended up, I was at a job that didn't work out. I went to another job. And one day, due to a clerical error, all the stuff that we had in a storage unit disappeared. I mean, they sold it all. And I went with April one day to go get something out of our storage, and it was empty. All our stuff in there was gone. And I remember that day. It was probably a few days after, in a great deal of frustration. I pretty much said, this is it. If God wants to do this way, then I guess he can do what he wants, and I'll just have to deal with it. And that was my opinion at that point. But, you know, God hasn't called us to that. He hasn't called us to be detached and uninvolved with him. He has called us to something far greater. And this morning, we're going to start on a message. Hopefully, we can get through it. I keep telling my wife, I don't know how I'm going to do this in one message. And if it does, we're not going to pursue it beyond the time, but I'm coming back next week and we may have to finish this up and go into the next. But there are two commands in the book of James, James 4, and he gives a whole series of commands there, but only two of those commands does it say that God is going to do something as a result. And the first one is James 4:8, the one that we'll start this morning. And it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The second is in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, that's the only two. And we're going to start working on this morning on the idea of draw near. Now, the command itself is not that difficult. I mean, you know, draw near. But there are some subtleties of meaning, because there's a couple other words that's also used with the same idea. And so in order to illustrate what this word actually means, I've asked David Villalobos to give me a hand. Okay, David, let's execute. Okay. I'm going to come down here. There are three words. And David's going to walk into the foyer. Okay, David, you can just step in here. And what he's doing right now is entering. And that's a word that's eisercomai in Greek. You can wait right there for a moment. And that is the word that is used in Hebrews 10, one of my favorite passages, one that I have shared with you from the pulpit. When it says that because of what Christ did for us, with full assurance, we can enter in to the Holy of Holies. That's the word that was just illustrated by David. The second word is to go towards, and that's pros, erkomai. So, David, come on up here. And now he's moving towards me. And that's all that word means. It doesn't necessarily mean you ever get where you're going. It just means you're moving toward. Okay, right there. Now, so the third word, and that's the one that we're looking at this morning, is engidzomai, and that is to draw near. Now, come up here and shake my hand. Right there, as he begins to extend his hand to shake mine, that is where draw near begins. And it ends when he actually executes what he intends to do. This is the range of draw near. It's not back there entering. It's not approaching. Okay, you kind of got that? I'm going to illustrate this. Thank you, David. I'm going to illustrate this in a couple other ways. When we get finished here, we are going to get in our car, and we're going to start driving back to Phoenix. And all the time, for 6 long hours, we're going to be going towards Phoenix, going towards home. But when we get to our off-ramp and we know that we're getting close to home and I pull out the key and I push the button to open the gate, that's where draw near begins. Okay, the word is used for some, here, get the right page here. It's used of the kingdom of God when it says the kingdom of God is drawing near. Now, the kingdom of God is not entering. The kingdom of God isn't moving toward us. The kingdom of God is drawing near. It is that close to being here. It's used of places. Just like I illustrated with going home, it's used of several cities. It's used 10 times for that. For approaching a person, approaching a place. It's the word, but it is the word that means just as you're about to execute your purpose. It's used of Judas when he goes up to Jesus and he has brought the crowd, and it says he draws near to give Jesus the betraying kiss. That's the closeness of what it's talking about. In Luke 21, in a passage, let's look there real quick, because I really want you to get the idea of what this word means. Luke 21. Luke 21 is looking at the end times and the events that lead up to the return of Christ. And in Luke 21, verse 21, and it says, "And when ye see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that its desolation is drawing near." Now, it just says it's near in the King James. But you see, when you see this happen, you know that the execution of that judgment is going to take place right now. In verse 28, after several things happen, it says, "And when these things begin to pass, look up, lift your eyes, for your redemption draws near." It is coming, and that's when Jesus is descending upon Jerusalem. So the word to draw near is that final step of approaching a person, a place, when you can complete what you're doing. And that is what God has called us to do to Himself, is to draw near face to face and to execute our worship and our love for Him. And what will He do in return? He will draw near to us. Now, if I accomplish anything this morning, this is it. This is an enormous command. The enormity blows us away. And I want to try to illustrate that. In the Old Testament, when the people were traveling out of Egypt, they built the ark. And the ark was a representation of God's presence among them. And in front of the ark, as they traveled, there was a cloud, a pillar of fire at night. But the ark represented God's presence. But there was a stinging command that went with that. If you touch the ark, you'll die. Now, that was in the day of Moses. The first guy to actually test that in the time of David, he died instantly. And that was hundreds of years after the command was given. There's something about approachability that falls into question when if you get too close, the second illustration is the temple itself. Now, in the temple, the women could get so close, and there was a barrier. And then the men could get so close, and there was a barrier. And then the priest could get so close, and there was a barrier. And then one priest, one time a year, could go into the Holy of Holies. But he could not unless he sacrificed for his own sins first. Otherwise, him walking in to the Holy of Holies would be a bad idea. Approachability here is an issue. In fact, it became so, the practice came to tie a rope to the leg of a high priest just in case he really didn't do this right or he wasn't prepared properly to go into the Holy of Holies, and then they could drag him out. And so God has an issue with us, but the picture of what he intended is the picture of him walking in the garden with Adam. And you can read this in Genesis 2. It says that he walked in the early evening with Adam, and he brought to Adam all the animals of the earth, and he asked Adam, and he said he brought him so he could see what Adam would name him. And I think that might be a picture of what we have, you know, when in heaven, is that God will have something for us to do, and he will take joy in how we do it. But that's the picture. But after the fall, there's a barrier. And only Jesus can undo that. But one of the interesting things is that even though even though they had the ark, and even though there was the temple there, and you couldn't approach it except in the case of the ark, not at all, and in the case of the temple, under a very strictly prescribed method, it was still there. You see, God wants to be among his people. And I think that is the picture we have. He wants to be there. There's a problem, and Jesus fulfills that problem. It's interesting to me that the command to draw near to God is only given twice in the New Testament. It's given in James. It's also given in the book of Hebrews. Now, there is one common theme between those two books that relates to what I was just talking about. Hebrews, obviously, is written to the Hebrews, written to Jews. But if you read the opening remarks of the book of James, you'll find that that book was written to the 12 tribes of Israel who had been scattered among the Gentile nations. They were believers who were chased out of Israel at the time after the Pentecost, and they call it the diaspora. They were scattered abroad, but they were Jews. And the two books in the New Testament that are written to Jews have specific commands to those Jews to draw near to God in spite of the picture that they have had their whole lives of you can get close to God. You can go to a certain point, but God is not calling us to come to a certain point. He is not calling us to hang up our New Testament. He's not calling us to be non-involved with Him. He is calling us to draw near and to participate and to know Him and to enjoy Him. In 1 John, first five verses, he says, that which was from the beginning we have touched and we have handled and we have looked at and we watched Him. And that which we learned is what we're passing on to you. And he says the reason that we're telling you this is so that you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with whom? Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the picture. Jesus Christ has come. When I envisioned coming up here for two messages, I thought, well, I know what I want to do. This is a while back. I know what I want to do. All theology is practical theology. And so I said, okay, we want to look at the life of Jesus, and we want to see His first coming and His second coming. And we're going to look at all the practical things that occurred because of His first coming. Well, not all of them, but some of them. And then we're going to look and talk about His return and what does that mean to us. You know what these two commands in here? The first one is totally dependent on the first coming of Christ, on the fact that He died for us, the fact that He shed His blood, and the fact that He ascended into heaven and He was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and that He makes petition for us right now. That, what we're talking about, this drawing near, is totally dependent on the fact that Jesus did His ministry the first time around. When He returns, the fact that He returns is what we're going to look at next week, hopefully. Humble yourself under the hand of God, and He will exalt you. 1 Peter says He will exalt you in due time. And that due time is what we'll look at. So, in a way, I got to fulfill both. Talking about a message that comes up out of the soil of a bad experience or tough experiences, and wanting to give you some practical theology. So we get to get both. Hebrews 9:11-14. Let's go there and read that, because I've been telling you that Jesus did a great and wonderful thing, and I just want to read to you a summary of what that is. Hebrews 9:11-14. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once. And the word for once is also the same word for once and for all. So He entered in once for all time into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer and sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, parentheses, so that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, so that the people could approach God even into the temple, they had to do this to do that. For if the bull, the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying the of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through his eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So he has made it by his sacrifice, by the picture of sacrifice in the Old Testament, he has made it possible for us to freely come and serve him. Another passage in Hebrews 8. 10 through 12. It's on the same page if you have New Schofield. Okay, 10 through 12. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That, I cannot tell you how important it is that God says to you and to me, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Because in the Old Testament and before the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that was absolutely impossible. We could wave. We could get to a certain point. We could go to the priest, and the priest could get closer. But an open invitation to any Jew, or even more unlikely, any Gentile, to enter into communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, as it says in 1 John, is absolutely incredible. Now, when it says that God will draw near to us, that's obviously the result, what he will do in response. The future tense, even in English, implies a certain commitment, a completeness. And just like, in fact, you know, let me go back to that. Draw near. There's certain tenses in the Greek that relate to commands. There's the present tense, the aorist tense, and the perfect tense. The present tense, when it's given a command, it always emphasizes the continuous nature of the command. So it would be the same as saying always or keep drawing near. But like when David was approaching me, and the word to move towards doesn't necessarily imply that he ever gets there. And that's the same way when it gives you a command in the present tense. It just emphasizes you should always be drawing near. Now, it would be the same as saying you should always be in the Word of God. You should continue in the Word of God. That's the sense. Every day. I mean, you should take time. And it should be continuous, and that's the sense. The perfect tense would be that the action is so complete that that the result just continues. For example, One of the big issues in Arizona is illegal immigrants. If one of those illegal immigrants actually goes through all the steps to become a citizen, and he goes before the judge, and he takes his oath as a citizen, everything changes. He is no longer illegal. He is no longer a stranger or an alien in this land. He is now, at that point, becomes a citizen, and from that point on, he remains a citizen. He has all the privileges of the citizen and the benefits of being a citizen. Now, that's what the perfect means. It's complete, but the results are so pronounced that the effect just keeps going. Now, this command here isn't either one of those. It's in the aorist tense. Now, the aorist tense always emphasizes that you complete the command. So we're not commanded to always be getting close to God. We're commanded get close to God. We're commanded to draw near to God. But it doesn't suggest that once we get there, that everything's hunky-dory. What it does suggest that the forces of life will purposefully drive us away from that relationship. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I don't have time to go through those, but our sin nature and the way that Satan has put together the world system is completely intended to keep us from God. And we have to fight that inclination all the time. And so the command is to draw near to God and to complete that so God can draw near to us, but it also implies that we have to keep that in trim. That we don't ever have a time that we're declared a citizen and we can just sit back and say, until we die. Then we have that time. So that's what the command entails. And in the future tense, when it says that God will draw near to us, it's the same sense of completeness. If we wanted to say that that God would continuously draw near to us, we'd say, well, he would continue to draw near. Kind of a continuous sense to it. And if we wanted to say, like in a perfect tense, he had already drawn near. He had drawn near to us. And there's a complete, which means he's staying there. But the future tense is just like the aorist. The command is to complete it, but keep it in trim. And as we do that, God draws near to us in the same way. And so that is the incredible command that God's given us. And I don't think I have, you know, I have three more points here. What are the hindrances? How do we go about doing that? You know, that's really a hard one. How do we, every day, in the face of the challenges and the pressure of life, to keep renewing and refreshing that draw near to God? That's important. And what are the rewards? I'm going to give you one hint as to the reward. And so in just a couple minutes, I'm going to close, and we're going to have to finish this next week. But one hint is to the reward. Can anybody think of one really cool guy? See, the tooth popped out. I'm sorry. I hope you didn't see that. It really looks embarrassing to have a big gap in your teeth. But can you think of one person who epitomizes drawing near to God and he'll draw near to you? Anybody have an idea? Enoch. Enoch. Daniel? Daniel's a good one, but Enoch was here, and it says Enoch walked with God, and God took him because it was so cool. That is the picture. Now, I haven't heard of anybody else actually accomplishing that. Nobody else has been walking with God so close that he took us all. But that is the picture. And God usually gives us one typical example so that we can cling to it, that we can cling to the idea that God wants to fellowship with us, each one of us individually, to such a degree that when it is accomplished, that both enjoy it so much that God just took them to heaven. Why mess with this earth stuff? Why mess with this sin stuff? Let's just bring Enoch up here and we'll have a good old time up here. That is the picture of the reward of drawing near to God. Obviously, I have a lot more to say about this, and we'll do it next week. And if there's anything I can leave you with this morning, is the absolute enormity of God inviting us to have face-to-face fellowship on an individual basis. It's incredible. And we need to take advantage of that in every way we can. We'll talk more about that next week. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that you have asked us individually to draw near to you with the promise that if we do, you will draw near to us. And Lord, we just thank you for your desire to fellowship with us, for your provision that we can fellowship with us. And Lord, I just pray that we would take advantage of that invitation and the command to draw near to you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.